From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The pipeline corporation Enbridge is facing serious indigenous opposition to its Line 3 project, bringing tar sands from Alberta, Canada, to Wisconsin, cutting through Minnesota. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, despite claiming to oppose fossil fuel expansion, approved the Line 3 permits, prompting hundreds to show up outside his mansion to denounce his actions. My guest is Taisha Martineau. She's the co-founder of Gichigumi Scouts. Welcome to the program, Taisha.
Hello, everybody. My name is Taisha Martineau. I'm a Two-Spirit Indigenous activist from the Fond du Lac Reservation, and I'm happy to be here to educate you all today.
Tell me where you are right now. You are standing out in the open. It looks extremely cold.
Yep, it's a pretty cold day out here today. It's Monday right now, and I'm on the Line 3 easement of the Enbridge Line 3 pipeline here in Cloquet, Minnesota.
So tell me about the Line 3 pipeline. I mentioned it brings tar sands from Alberta to Wisconsin, cutting through Minnesota. Which parts of Minnesota would it cut through, and why are you opposed to this pipeline?
The Line 3 pipeline will be cutting through sacred lands of the Anishinaabe people, including the Mississippi. It crosses the Mississippi twice. It will also be going through the Fond du Lac Reservation, of which I am a tribal enrolled member of. I'm opposed to the Line 3 pipeline project because of its emission rates that is equal to 50 coal plants. The time to act is now to stop the. We can't look forward to a future for our grandchildren if we don't take a stand now and say enough is enough and move forward with renewable energy. Also, when infrastructure such as KXL, Dakota Access Pipeline, Line 3, and Line 4 go up, the statistics that Indigenous women face increase by 22%. Before that increase, the statistics are 1 in 3 Indigenous women. I'm 10 times more likely to be murdered simply because I'm an Indigenous woman. Recognizing that I have 3 Indigenous daughters made me put the boots on today and come out here to disrupt the Line 3 infrastructure work.
So the tar sands are an extremely dirty source of energy, right? So I understand from just even at the source, they are an extremely disruptive type of fuel. And then when they are burned the fuel is extracted from it, it's a toxic process. And of course, pipelines leak. It's not a matter of if they will leak, it's when they will leak. So there seems to be both short-term and long-term concerns with regard to pollution and the climate from this pipeline.
Absolutely. This is just a dirty company in general, and it is heartbreaking. Tar sands equals bloody hands. It is devastating to look around and see how many of these old and sacred trees on these lands Indigenous people have been preying upon and looking to stop have been just torn away within seconds by giant machines such as this. These workers here are not supposed to be here unless they've completed a cultural competency course and a sex trafficking course. Many of these workers haven't completed either one of those. There are so many forms of opposition going on right now all across the board. There's Winona LaDuke up there in Palisades, Minnesota. There's the GNU Collective. There's Northfields Against Line 3. And there's also those of us who are Indigenous here from Fond du Lac who are in open opposition. And I'm just really happy to be here to be able to share my voice and my pain with all of you lovely viewers today.
So the pipeline project, how far along is it right now? I mean, where you are standing right now for our TV audience, we can see equipment. Are they clear cutting for us? What is the level of destruction that they've already engaged in order to put the pipeline down?
We are right at the beginning of this. The black snake is just rearing its ugly head. They are clear cutting lands that are sacred to us. And it's just devastating. We came out here to pray and disrupt, and it's devastating. watching these giant machines like this that run on diesel. A while back in Grand Rapids, they were clear cutting these areas, laying the wetland matting, and there was a spill from one of these big, huge trucks that they have.
Tell me about the actions of Governor Tim Walz. This is the governor of Minnesota who had initially opposed Line 3. Why had he initially opposed it, and what changed his mind in signing the permits?
I cannot speak for Governor Tim Walz. I met Governor Tim Walz at the MMIW March, the Missing Murdered Indigenous Women Movement March in 2019. All across the world, Indigenous women are facing femicide. I met Governor Tim Walz there and I demanded that he speak and stop Line 3. And we argued. He was there at an Indigenous ceremony to support the Indigenous culture and the people. And he was arguing with an Indigenous woman and he would not say anything to oppose Line 3. And I kept begging him. I said, Governor, we need you. Stop Line 3. Stop Line 3. Tim Walz made us promises and he has not kept those promises. As an Indigenous anarchist, I recognize that a politician is a politician. And if Tim Walz won't stop this pipeline, then those of us on the front lines with able bodies will put ourselves here to stop it for all seven generations that are to come.
I want to pick up on what you were saying with femicide. The issue of missing and murdered Indigenous women is a long-standing issue. It's a nationwide issue. Your organization, Gichigumi Scouts, I understand, was founded to address this issue. What is the connection between missing and murdered Indigenous women and pipeline projects like the one you're protesting? Can you explicitly lay out that link?
So the men who come into these communities, like 85% of them are non-Indigenous. They're not from here. They're from out of state. And they're making really good money. That money is a beacon to people who are lost, people who are hurting. They group up in these man camps or in hotels, and they're just really bored, and they have a lot of money to spend. And that increases the issue of drug and sex trafficking. And for Indigenous communities, that's just devastating, because we're a community that's already been suffering in the fight against drug addiction and sex trafficking. And I started Gichigumi Scouts in opposition of Line 3 because of those statistics, because I have three daughters. I need to be out here to lower and change those statistics. I cannot stop a pipeline all by myself, but I can love and support my community so that we get through this together.
How much inspiration do you draw from the water protectors of the Dakota Access Pipeline Project, people who are resisting that that pipeline, and also the Wet'suwet'en effort, the First Nations work in Canada that had similar resistance to pipeline projects? Do you see this action you're taking a part in as part of this broad international movement?
Yes, I stand in solidarity with all of my relatives fighting racist colonial resource extraction all across Turtle Island. I stand with the Tiny House Warriors in Canada who are stopping the pipeline there, and they are my muse. What they did in Standing Rock was awaken the world. And the government believes that they won. They believe that they kicked that sacred fire out, but all they did was spread those ashes all across Turtle Island, and the warriors are awakening now. Everywhere where this black snake rears its head, we're going to stop it. And that's because of the Ocheti Sakoan people. These homelands here, these are my traditional territories. My ancestors starved to death in the winter of 1850 for me to be able to stand here today. But I recognize that Minnesota is also the ancestral homelands of the Ocheti Sakoan people, and I'm going to fight for them too.
So you mentioned the Dakota Access Pipeline. There was a sense that the fight is over. I remember when the Standing Rock protests were happening and the Obama administration, as one of its last actions, handed victory, which was, of course, then overturned by the Trump administration. All that happened just 4 years ago. It was right around the election. What has the Trump administration meant, symbolized in the push for oil and gas industries over the last 4 years. He has championed, it seems, fossil fuels like no other president in the last decade or so.
Yes, absolutely. You know, Obama was a very charming person, but there's no government like no government. You know, he was charming and it was easy to swallow and ignore the drone strikes and everything bad that he was doing. But Trump's like a breath of fresh air because he's real. He knows he's a terrible person and he's out there in the open with it. And he's just been the champion of people who feel supreme, who look at people as if they're less than, as if they're not even people. You know, I can still find my likeliness when I walk through a Walmart in the Halloween aisle. I can still see the faces of the murdered being paraded about as mascots. I'm not looked at as a real people. And Trump, he awoken this beast of racism within the hearts of a lot of angry men in trucks. And that's what I see every day out here, is a lot of angry men in trucks.
Now, Minnesota has also had skyrocketing cases of coronavirus. We are seeing, in terms of per capita, it's one of the highest in the nation. How has that impacted not just the ability to protest, but in general, Indigenous communities?
You know, this virus is hitting communities of color at a disproportionate rate. Right now behind me, you can see a northern clearing truck. When they came out here within the first week, 7 of their 50-man crew tested positive for coronavirus.
Wow.
These men are grouped up in hotels within this area. They're shopping at our grocery stores, stopping at our gas stations. They are a risk to my community.
And so there's also, I imagine, the issue of people having little access to health care. Indigenous communities have been ravaged and haven't gotten enough support from the federal government. These pipeline projects are often justified on the basis of bringing money into communities. Do they ever?
We were told that they were going to try and hire more tribal people to work this pipeline. But there hasn't been many local people getting onto this. It's mostly out-of-state union workers. And at the end of the day, it does not matter how many temporary jobs this project creates. Because if 5 years from now, I have to boil water just to feed my family, no, I'm not going to take that risk. I'm going to stop them here and I'm going to stop them now.
So the Trump administration is ending. We have an incoming Biden-Harris administration. Joe Biden has claimed he is a climate champion. He has set ambitious conditions to meet in terms of emissions. Even though the Minnesota permit process, I understand, is a state-level issue, is there anything that the incoming Biden-Harris administration could do to stop this pipeline?
I am not sure about the administrative powers that presidents or senators or legislators have at this point. Mm-hmm. But when Biden takes office, I'll be happy to see Trump go. But that's not going to stop my fight. We got to push him left and we got to push him on a Green New Deal, because this is a promise he's made to the people of America that he was going to be a climate champion. And that's what we need as a champion. I need someone with a voice loud enough to stop this so I don't have to continue putting my body on the line, risking arrest for future generations.
So Governor Tim Walz is the only one right now who could revoke that permit. And the permit was approved just a few weeks ago. Are there protests in front of his mansion still ongoing as well, like there were when the permit was first signed?
Yes, I believe so, that there are. And I'd ask anyone who is listening to please give Governor Tim Walz a call and ask him to hear us. Ask him to please step in on behalf of the Anishinaabe people who are still here, remembering that the land you stand on is stolen and sacred. And from the dust around your feet come the cries of broken children. I don't want to be a part of that statistic. I need everyone who's able to get active. Call your governors, demand him to start standing for the people.
The pipeline project, if it were to go through and the pipeline were to leak, which, as we said before, it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when, wouldn't it impact Minnesotans in general? You mentioned that it crosses the Mississippi twice. Are you seeing non-Indigenous solidarity, or is this a primarily Indigenous movement?
We all drink the water here. Everyone here has been here for at least three generations or more. I need everyone to take a moment and just touch her, feel her and hear her, because this pipeline isn't going to affect just me and my children. This pipeline, this is a danger to all of us.
Can you describe to me what's happening right now, where you are at? You're at the site of the pipeline project and we're hearing some shouts.
I am on the easement right now, and with me I have a tribal enrolled member, Sherry, and she came here today to stop this pipeline. We've just been disrupting today, letting our voices be heard. It's just the two of us, and we have successfully stopped work now at two sites. All it needs is a couple people with strong hearts.
So you're walking around in the area and you're trying to stop the work. I remember during the Standing Rock protests, people were chaining themselves to equipment. It was very dangerous. There was a time when the state government brought out law enforcement. There were dogs that were that attacked people. How far will these protests go, you think, and what sort of opposition are you expecting? I mean, could this turn into another Standing Rock?
Yes, I didn't want it to come to this, but if this pipeline goes in, then they have effectively buried me and my three children beneath it. We have many warriors who are willing to die before they allow this pipeline to go through. I'm standing here today with one of them. And these workers don't understand that. They don't understand that this isn't just some grandiose scheme that we're gonna save the environment. We're out here fighting for the lives of our children. We're out here fighting for a future. I have a 13-month-old son at home, and I can't promise that he'll gather wild rice. I can't make those promises. Because every day more trucks arrive and there's more land dug up. And these pipelines, there's already six of them here. I can't allow them to put this pipeline in. I can't.
My guest has been Tayshia Martineau, co-founder of Gitche Gumee Scouts. We've been discussing the Stop Line 3 protests in Minnesota. Tayshia was speaking to me from the site of the Line 3 pipeline construction project before her phone gave out. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.